بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble and pure family, and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. This is the explanation of hadith number 2 in Imam An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, and this is based upon the explanation by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahu Allah ta'ala. The hadith goes as follows. Can we have part of the hadith inshallah? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. صحيح مسلم. Here is the beginning. One day we were sitting in the company of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم when there appeared before us a man dressed in pure white clothes, his hair extraordinarily black. There was no signs of travel on him, and none amongst us recognized him. At last he sat with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knelt before him, placed his palms on his thighs and said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. So here, this man in the beginning of the hadith that you see, his name is not mentioned. In fact, he is, in his form, he appeared to be a man. However, in reality, he was an angel, as will be disclosed later. He had clothes on him, and that his hair was extraordinarily black, indicating that he looked young. And there was no sign of travel on him, no dust whatsoever. Because at their times, the traveler, some signs of travel would appear on them. Normally you would find them disheveled, their hairs, or unkempt, dusty. Their clothes are not like the clothes of the town dwellers. So, with respect to this man, there were no signs of trouble on him. Not only that, none amongst the companions recognized him. So he was not from the known people in the Medina. So he was a stranger. And he came through nearer and sat close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knelt before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Knelt on his thighs, not on the thighs of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is because of the great respect he had. وَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. And he said, O Muhammad. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. He didn't say, O Messenger of Allah. Why? In order to make people think that he was a Bedouin. Because the Bedouins, used to call the Prophet ﷺ by his known name, Muhammad. The Bedouins used to call him Ya Muhammad. However, the town dwellers or the urbanites used to call him either with the Prophet name or the Messenger name, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he asked him the following question: أخبرني عن الإسلام. Tell me, inform me about Islam. Tell me about it. فقال, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam answered by saying, الإسلام, this is the definition. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, الإسلام أن تشهد, is to testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Rasulullah, is Allah's messenger. Meaning you have to testify and attest to with your tongue and your heart. The tongue is not sufficient alone. It's a must to be on the tongue and in the heart. قال الله عز وجل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this effect, إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون, in Surah Al-Zukhruf, which is 43:86, إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. Okay. Except those who bear witness to the truth and they know. Now, لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. This is a, from the grammatical point of view, this is a nominal clause negated by the article la, by the article la ilaha, by the article la. There is no negation. Negated this nominal clause, la ilaha illallah. This is a nominal clause, and it's negated by this la. This la negates the kind. This la negates the kind. This is very important. This is grammar, but it has an impact, a very important impact on the meaning. And this negation of kind is the most comprehensive form of negation in grammar. So, nominal clause. What's the noun in this nominal clause? The noun is ilah. La ilaha illallah. The noun is ilah. And the predicate is missing. The predicate, al-khabar, the predicate in grammar here, in this nominal clause is missing. And this is implication of a missing syntactical part. And the implication is, what is missing here is this. The implication is haqq, which means true. So the meaning now is, there is no true God except Allah. This illa, illa Allah, illa. This illa is an article of restriction. So this nominal clause has something missing in it, implication of a missing syntactical part, and this missing is a word which is haqq, haqq, which means true. So the meaning of this nominal clause will be La ilaha haqq illallah. There is no true God except Allah Azza wa Jal. There are other gods, but these are false gods. That's why this haqq, true, is important. And these other gods deserve nothing of divinity. And the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj 22:62. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ, listen to my word, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Haqq, He is the truth, meaning the only true God who deserves worship. And what they, the polytheists, invoke beside Him is batil, falsehood. So although they are gods, quote unquote, but they are false. And verily Allah, He is the Most High, the Most Great. So this is, and la ilaha illallah, you bear witness, you testify that there is no true God except Allah, and that Muhammad, he answered him, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and that Muhammad, you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He didn't say inni Rasulullah, I am the messenger of Allah, even though the context may entail it, because he is addressing him. However, he is making his name appear in this form because this is more intense and more of magnification. And Muhammad, Muhammadan, who is Muhammad? He is Muhammad bin Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the Hashemite, the Qurayshite, the Qurayshi, the Qurayshite, from the offspring of Ismail. And there is no messenger from the offspring of Ismail except Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the one meant by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Ibrahim and Ismail in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:129, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. O Lord, send amongst them a messenger of their own who shall recite unto them your verses. This messenger is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. Rasul meaning being sent. And the Rasul by definition, the Shaykh rahimahullah defined the Rasul, the messenger, as the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him by a sharia, revealed to him a sharia, a legislation, and he commanded him to relate it and propagate it and act by it. This is the definition of a Rasul, messenger. Then he gave him the, now still he is defining what is the meaning of Islam. He said the beginning here, Sayyid, Islam is to testify that there is no true God except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. And then he said, وَتُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, and you establish prayer, meaning you establish it correctly, uprightly. And the salah comprises both optional and obligatory. And وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ, that you worship Allah by giving the dutiful amount of wealth due upon you to those who deserve it. And this wealth comprises gold, silver, cattle, land produce, business transactions, etc. وَتَصُومَ رَمَضَان, still the definition of Islam is going on, that you withhold from food and drinks and the like, as a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time of dawn till the time of sunset. And Ramadan is the known month, which is between Sha'ban and Shawwal, which lies between Sha'ban and Shawwal from the Islamic calendar. Then he told him, وَتَحُجَّ الْبَيْتِ, and you perform pilgrimage to the inviolable house in Mecca, meaning you worship Allah by traveling to the house to perform specific rituals in specific times. This is the meaning of Hajj. If you are able, قال صدقت. Now the one who is questioning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is making a comment. He said, قال صدقت. You spoke the truth. You have told the truth. Now Jibreel عليه السلام is the one who asked. So how come he says you spoke the truth, yet he is the one who is making the question? Because the one who is saying you have told the truth, it means that he has a previous knowledge which confirmed this knowledge that is coming as an answer from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is amazing. That's why the companions were amazed. How he asks him and then attests that he spoke the truth. And this will come later, inshallah. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the meaning of Islam in its five pillars. Don't you agree? Isn't it? What you have heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer is the pillars of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answer constitutes the pillar of Islam. The first pillar was to testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. And here there is a question. Why these two statements were made one pillar and not two? The answer is, the testimony with these two statements is the foundation upon which the correctness of all deeds depend upon. Why? Because the testimony of La ilaha illallah requires ikhlas, intention, pure intention, purity of intention. And the testimony that Muhammad is Rasulullah requires following ittiba. And any action through which a person takes as a means of nearness to Allah is not acceptable except with these two conditions. Except with these two conditions fulfilled. Sincerity of intentions to Allah and following to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The meaning of you testify that there is no true God except Allah, it means that you have to confess and attest to with your tongue and heart that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Majestic. And the meaning of ashhadu, it means I attest and testify in my heart, uttering on my tongue. Because the shahada is an utterance and relating of what is in the heart. And if the one who is making the testimony in his heart is a dumb, akhras, whereby he cannot utter it, then this is sufficient because of his incapacity. Now, the shahada with the tongue, the testimony with the tongue, is not sufficient due to the evidence that the hypocrites testify the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on their tongues. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them, they utter with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. So it's not, it is of no avail to them. And they used to come to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, affirming that they testify that he is Rasulullah, and Allah knows that Muhammad is Allah's Messenger, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies in the Quran that the hypocrites are lying. And he said it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah knows that they are lying. He said it in the Quran. Then la ilaha illallah, we explained that. Then the question also, how come you say, how come it is said, la ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah, yet that there are gods which are worshipped besides Allah, and Allah had referred to them in the Quran as aliha, as gods. And the worshippers of these gods, they also refer to them as their gods. قال الله تعالى, take for example the following. Surah Hud 11:101. فما أغنت عنهم آلهتهم التي يدعون من دون الله من شيء. We wrong them not, but they wrong themselves. So their aliha, aliha is plural of ilah, so their gods, other than Allah whom they invoke, profited them not when there came the command of your Lord, nor did they add aught to their lot but destruction. Also take for example that Allah referred to their gods as also gods in 21:43. أَمْ لَهُمْ آلِهَةٌ تَمْنَعُهُمْ مِنْ دُونِنَا لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ نَصْرَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ مِنَّا يُسْحَبُونَ. Or have they aliha, gods who can guard them from us? They have no power to help themselves, nor can they be protected from us, from our torment. So from our discussion of the grammar earlier, we came to understand that the negation there is something missing grammatically, which implies the truth. So these gods, therefore, of them are gods but false ones, not true ones. And therefore it deserves nothing of the uluhiyya, of divinity. And the evidence for this is again what we read earlier in Surah Al-Hajj 22:62. Listen to this carefully please. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. That is because Allah, He is the truth, the only true God of all that exists, who has no partners or rivals with Him. And what they, the mushriks, the polytheists, invoke besides him is al-batil. It is batil, falsehood. And verily Allah, He is the Most High, the Most Great. So if a mushrik comes to a statue which he worships and bows to it, prostrates to it, and humiliates himself to it, and may even go unconscious by it, then his worship is false, futile. And that which he is worshipping is also batil, is falsehood. إِلَّا اللَّهِ, except Allah. And Allah is the title of the Lord, the Most Majestic. No one is named by this name except Him. And it is the reference for all the other names of Allah which follow from it. And it does not follow other names. except in one verse, and that is the saying of Allah in Surah Ibrahim 14:1-2. إلى صراط العزيز الحميد الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. This is a book which we have revealed unto you, O Muhammad, in order that you might lead mankind out of darkness into light by their Lord's leave, to the path of the Almighty, the owner of all praise. Okay. Then came what? Allah. To whom belongs all that is in the heavens and all. So their names came here. Almighty, owner of praise. Then came Allah. To whom belongs all that. However, the honorable name here, Allah, is grammatically referred to as Badal from Almighty. Badal from Almighty. Badal means a noun equivalent. A noun equivalent. This is the meaning of badal, this is a grammatical one. And it is not an attribute, because all the names follow from this name, Allah. So here, even in this one, although it in the sequence appeared to be following, but rather it is not an adjective or a quality. However, it is a noun equivalent to Almighty. Grammatically referred to as Badal, a noun equivalent. Question. Does this testimony make the person enter the fold of Islam? The answer is yes. It makes him enter the fold of Islam, even if we think that he may have said it only to seek refuge in it. Even then, we secure his blood and his wealth. Even though we may think that he said it and lied about it, being a liar. And the evidence for this, is in the story of the mushrik, the polytheist non-believer, who was faced in a battlefield by one of the companions, whose name is Usama ibn Zayd. May Allah be pleased with him. He ran away, and when Usama caught him, and he had the sword ready to kill him, he said and uttered, La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So Usama killed him, thinking that he only said it as a means of refuge to save himself from being killed. When Usama told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept saying to him, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Did you kill him after he said لا إله إلا الله? Usama said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّمَا قَالَهَا تَعَوُّذًا. He only said it just as a way out, seeking refuge in it, to protect himself from it, meaning. Then the Prophet ﷺ kept telling him, did you kill him after he said, La ilaha illallah? Usama said, I wished I didn't become a Muslim then, because of the intense impact on Usama it had. So from this we know that we deal with that which is apparent, even though we may likely think that he may have said it only as a refuge to save himself. However, if he rejects Islam after that, then he is to be killed. And this occurs from the soldiers of the unbelievers, if they are held as captives. Yes, if you reject Islam, you are to be killed. If you rejected Islam, you will be killed. But there are conditions, and not just like that, as you think. A person is given respite, and if he still rejects, after all the matters are clear to him, then in that sense, he is to be killed. So this may occur from soldiers who in battlefield may fall as captives in the hands of Muslims. They may say, well, we accept Islam in order to save themselves from the killing. So should these be killed or not after they say La ilaha illallah? The answer is that hadith Usama, this hadith of Usama which you have heard, indicates that they should not be killed. However, they should be watched. If it becomes apparent and clear that they rejected Islam truly, then they can be killed then. Because the testimony of La ilaha illallah obligates them to fulfill the rulings of Islam. So if the kafir, the non-believer, says La ilaha illallah, no true God except Allah, however he doesn't testify that Muhammad is Allah's messenger, then this is not sufficient for him until he testifies the complete shahada that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. And accordingly, the kafir, the non-believer, enters the fold of Islam just by saying La ilaha illallah. So if he says it denying the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is required from him to add the message that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. In fact, in the noble hadith related by Al-Bukhari and others, Al-Bukhari and Muslim even, ادعهم إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله, call them to the testimony of there is no true God except Allah, وأني رسول الله, and that I am the messenger of Allah. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, And it is known by necessity from the religion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that upon which the Ummah is in agreement is that the first people to call, the first matter to call people to comply to is the testimony of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, and by this the kafir becomes a Muslim. And if he is a Muslim, and if he is a Muslim, and he says La ilaha illallah, and he dies on that, then this is sufficient. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, من كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Anyone whose last words that he utters from this life is لا إله إلا الله, then he enters paradise. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and by Al-Hakim, and he said this is hadith is correct, has a correct narration. This testimony is sufficient for the Muslim to say La ilaha illallah, because this person who is dying attests that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah and he has no problem with that. This testimony of La ilaha illallah entails the purity of intention in worship to Allah alone, and this kind of tawheed is referred to as the tawheed of uluhiyyah, singling Allah alone as the true God worthy of being worshipped. It is also called Tawheed al-Ibadah, the Tawheed of worship, because the meaning of La ilaha illallah is that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, meaning that you don't worship anyone except Allah. So anyone who says La ilaha illallah, yet he worships other than Allah, then he is a liar. Because this testimony necessitates the purity of worship to be alone to Allah, done alone to Allah, casting out and dispelling show off and haughtiness and the like. Now the saying Muhammad Rasulullah, then it's inevitable to testify that he is a messenger of Allah. Allah sent him to mankind. And the definition of the Rasul, of the Messenger, is the one whom Allah revealed to him a legislation and ordered him to propagate it. And the people before Noah, alayhi salam, were milla wahida, where one nation لم يحتاجوا إلى رسول, they didn't need a messenger. Then after that they multiplied and they differed and disagreed, and thus the need for messengers arose, and Allah then sent the messengers. قال الله تعالى in this respect in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:213, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه. Mankind were one community, meaning on Tawheed, and Allah sent prophets with glad tidings and warnings, and with them he sent the scripture in truth to judge between people in matters where then they differed, and only those to whom the scripture was given differed concerning it after clear proofs had come unto them through hatred one to another. So the messengers were only sent after the people differed, and they were sent so that they judge between people with the truth or by the truth. And that's why the first messenger was Nuh alayhi salam, and the last messenger was Muhammad. So that a must to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger of Allah, and that we must believe that he is the last and final prophet. And from this we know the mistake done by the historians who said that there was one messenger or more before Noah. However, there is no messenger before Noah, because of the evidence stated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 163. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhin wan nabiyyina min ba'dihi. Verily we have inspired you, O Muhammad, as we inspired Nuh and the prophets after him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 26, as the other side of the evidence, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ. Surah Al-Hadid, verse 26, and indeed we sent Noah and Ibrahim and placed in their offspring, look at this, and placed in their offspring prophethood and scripture, and among them there is he who is guided, but many of them are fasiqun, etc. Meaning in their special offspring. Also from the Sunnah, this is from the Quran, from the Sunnah, in the story of the hadith, the lengthy hadith of intercession, people will come on the day of resurrection to Nuh alayhi salam, and they will tell him, Anta awwalu rasulin arsalahu Allah ila ahli al-ard. You are the first messenger whom Allah had sent to the people of the earth. So our creed is that the first of the messengers is Nuh alayhi salam, and the last is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyone who claims prophethood after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the ruling is he is a kafir. Because in this he is denying the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33, verse 40, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last end of the prophets. He didn't say here, Allah, he didn't say the end of the messengers. Yet he described him as messenger of Allah in the beginning of the verse. Why? Because if he is the end of the prophets, then he is the end of the messengers. Because there is no message except to come after prophethood. If there is no prophethood after him, after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then by all means there is no message. Okay, we stop here inshallah, and we continue tomorrow. Tomorrow inshallah we'll discuss the following important parts concerning the testimony that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. What does it entail? Muhammad being the messenger of Allah, what does it entail? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.